people are actually taking out rakes, brooms, and they're following suit and they're feeling pride.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we sit down with the new mayor of Troy, New York, after 100 days in office. Well, Carmela Mantello is Troy's first female mayor, and she says her work has only just begun. The Republican former city council president has kept up a high profile in the city since taking office in January. Mantello says making the city feel safer and cleaner is a top priority that will drive the local economy. She sat down with WAMC's Samantha Simmons.
We hit the ground running and we're cleaning, as you saw, through our Quality of Life Action Task Force, curb to curb, street sweeping. We're holding tenants, landlords accountable. But from point A, we had to lead by example. So the culture here had to change in-house, and that culture now is spreading all throughout our neighborhoods. People are actually taking out rakes, brooms, and they're following suit, and they're feeling pride in their neighborhoods. So from day one, like I said, we hit the ground running with the Quality of Life Action Task Force. We're addressing blighted buildings. We're addressing, you know, some folks that you saw out on the streets who are just throwing trash and, you know, whether it be refrigerators, washers, dryers, TVs on their front lawns. That's changing. And so if you drive up and down the streets, I think every neighborhood is feeling the love, feeling the attention that was so desperately needed over the past several years.
How do you think boosting the morale throughout the City Hall, that was another big thing that you campaigned on, has changed the way the city structure works here?
Yeah, the first thing was I met with every department, and I met with laborers in the garages, and, you know, met with the water treatment plant folks. And, you know, the first thing they said, especially the people in the garages, Carmela, we haven't seen a mayor, let alone some department heads, here in the garage for years. 15 years, some had never seen them ever. So it was a huge culture change just to, you know, be out there. And, you know, from day one, I wanted our folks to know that even though, yes, you know, on the org chart, I'm at the top of the chart, our department heads are overseeing departments. We're 500 folks, 450. We're here to work as one team. So, you know, they're seeing me out on the streets. They're seeing that what they do day in and day out has a huge impact on people's lives. And they're starting to see that bigger picture. So, you know, I tell everyone we're one team here. And if we can lead by example, the other 50,000 plus folks will join our team and pitch in and be a part of that team. So, you know, I truly believe, and I know, there's just a huge culture change here in City Hall. It's happening out there. Business people have, you know, told us they haven't seen the streets this clean in 15, 20 years. You know, folks who are snowbirds who now come back to Troy, can't believe when they left, you know, back in November, December, they have come back and they're like, oh my gosh, we're already seeing the change. And, you know, I had a couple employees, Samantha, they've worked here 10, 15 years and they've come into my office and they're so happy. They're so happy to be part of the team. Employees out there have said, hey, we just want to work. So everyone gets it. Everyone knows they're part of that team. And that is spreading all throughout the city. So we've only just begun, but it really has taken hold. And I could not be more proud and honored to be a part of this.
A new city hall has been a little bit of a contentious issue in, you know, even last month it was, and last year it still was. Now that the back rent has been paid on this location in the Headley building, and negotiations are moving forward, What's your plan for the next space of City Hall, or now that negotiations are moving forward, do you plan to stay here for a little bit longer? What are those negotiations looking like?
Sure. First and foremost, you'll see City Hall. I call it City Floor. Great view, but it really isn't something the people of Troy can be proud of. We're paying close to $500,000 a year. We've done that now for the past 12 years. And, add those monies up. So the first step was paying that overdue rent. It put us in a position, Samantha, to be able to negotiate with First Columbia on hopefully a short-term lease. What we're looking at, 3 to 5 year lease. They may not go less than 5, but maybe if we do 5 year, we can give them early notice, be out in 3 years. Within the next, hopefully, week, we literally are putting the final touches on an RFP. And so that RFP will be out the door over the next week. And what we're doing through the RFP is we're looking, hopefully, to create a public-private partnership, own our own City Hall, something that you wouldn't drive by and not know it's a City Hall. So many people come to City Hall if they aren't from Troy, and even people from Troy don't even know we're on the fifth floor of the Headley Building. There's nothing outside. There's no signage, no flag. So there's nothing here that signifies that we are City Hall until you come on the fifth floor and see the plastic sign that says City Hall. So, my goal is to create something we're proud of. We'll look at various buildings like the ICC, the Freer Building, the Atrium Building, the old Price Chopper in the Berg. And then also simultaneously, we'll ask in that RFP, developers, landowners, if you have 30,000 square feet and above, we're open. Come to us with a proposal. So the goal is to have something we're more proud of. And the people of Troy deserve that. So stay tuned.
And One Monument Square was a failed proposal to City Hall. There's a number of things that can't be worked around because it's too expensive or other things. What's your future for One Monument Square?
Yeah, great question. In fact, I was talking to a council member yesterday about that. So, as we know, we're on our sixth proposal at One Monument Square. Thankfully, John McDonald, the governor, we were able to get $19 million for that sixth proposal. Unfortunately, that proposal has since died. The land agreement with Hoboken is no longer, so there is no agreement with Hoboken. Samit, who was driving the bus for that proposal, he's in need of more financing. So I think our first step is first to ensure the 19 mil stays in the budget, which the good news is we are told it's in the budget. So once the budget passes, the 19 mil will be for that site. So the good news, the 19 mil was not specifically for that particular proposal. It's for the site. And so what we're hopeful to do is sit down with John McDonald, the governor's office, and hopefully shift that money. What do I envision? Well, we all know we're on our sixth proposal. The people of Troy, we've had a number of charrettes, a number of public meetings. We know what the folks of Troy want to see at that site, some type of public-private, maybe a little bit more public than private. The farmers market is looking for a new home. So my goal is to develop that site, but really utilize the public forums, the charrettes that were held. I know what I'd like to see there, and I'm hopeful that the governor and the assembly member are also open to that, so we can shift that $19 million towards something a little more public, maybe hold the farmers market. They need a permanent home. As you know, they're in the atrium, and it's not the ideal space for winter time. It's great during the summer, but they need a 12-month permanent home also. So, and as you know, very passionate about the waterfront, so I'd like to see some public amenities. So I think we're shifting more, at least me, what I'd like to see a little more public, some private, restaurant per se, maybe a couple offices. But the whole residential component, I think, has really gone on the back burner. So stay tuned also for One Monument, and I hope to get a shovel in the ground by the end of the year, beginning of 2025. But the goal is this year to really move forward with One Monument. It's prime real estate on our waterfront, really connects our downtown, is a catalyst, and we want to make that a regional destination.
And back to City Hall a little bit.
Sure.
Some city council members think there's other things that should take priority over a new City Hall. Do you share a similar vision? Do you think that City Hall should wait a little bit longer, or other proposals should move forward?
Yeah, the good news on that front, if you can't multitask, don't be mayor. We're not just focusing on City Hall, on One Monument, the fire station up in Lansingburg. A year and a half, that has been on the back burner. In fact, discussions, negotiations with the property owner that were looking to relocate and build a new firehouse were dead. I have reinvigorated those discussions. We just completed environmental phase two. Now we're in the cleanup mode. So once again, the fire station is now back on track. It is going to be built at that site. Negotiations continue. We're going to buy that land. So all the other projects that the council mentioned are all either in the middle, at the beginning, all being negotiated. And, we're not a one-subject administration. You have to be able to multitask. So the lead pipe replacement program, that is going gangbusters. We were informed $15 million from EFC and Department of Health, and we're going to have multiple contractors out there once we receive the paperwork for the funding. We'll hopefully bond, have multiple contractors out there, and as you know, that's a huge goal of mine, to complete all lead pipes within the next 4 years, and we're already 3 months in. We have one crew last year through FANE. This year, we're already talking to FANE about the second crew. So we're enhancing, accelerating what's been done, and now that we know we're going to get that $15 million, which is huge, we're going to accelerate the lead pipe replacement program that much more. Whether it be public safety, quality of life action task force, One Monument, City Hall, the fire station, many of our other projects, Congress Street, Route 2 corridor, they're all in the works. South Troy is going, hopefully we're working on moving the saw pile. Stay tuned with that. So we have so many projects in the works, and it's definitely for some of the council members to say, well, you need to focus on one project and not City Hall. We can focus on all of them, and that's the job of a mayor. To wake up that day not knowing what your day is going to look like, if you're going to have a landslide on Spring Ave or an ice storm on a Saturday, or what else, a lead pipe about to burst. So you have to be able to multitask. So, as you can see, we're kind of taking everything, taking the bull by the horn, being very proactive and not a one-dimensional, one-subject, one-project administration.
Piggybacking on the lead pipe replacement, percentage-wise, it seems like maybe it slowed down a little bit. Last time we talked, you said it hadn't. What's going on behind the scenes that the percentage isn't climbing so quickly?
Yeah, I think what you saw in the first 50% is the low-hanging fruit. The folks like me and the folks who are a little more knowledgeable of what's going on with pipes in their homes, et cetera, and maybe go online or watch the news. Now, that next 50%, Samantha, we are going to have to go door to door. Once again, stay tuned. We're working with the environmental advocates, New York League of Conservation Voters, and we have RPI students. We're going to, within the next 2 weeks, go on a door-to-door campaign and start knocking on doors and educating people how important it is to drive that inventory up. The good news, I think literally out of all the municipalities across the state, we are leading the charge when it comes to our inventory being close to 50%. Additionally, with our lead pipe replacement program, we've actually gotten calls from other municipalities who are asking us, how are we going about it? How are you doing it? So we hope to be a model for other communities, Samantha, and so that next 50%, well, I don't think it'll be as easy as the first 50. We're going to get there. I hope to be, by the end of the year, at least 75-80%, if not more. So we're on that charge, and the door-to-door campaign, which I plan, and our administration, we plan to be out there with folks, knocking on doors, and really imploring them, because obviously that will lead us to more money, too. So the more inventory we have, it will rate us higher when we're applying for those desperately needed federal and state dollars.
Now that you're in office and you see the day-to-day behind the scenes, everything, you've hired a comptroller, how likely do you think it is that you'll reach one of your campaign promises without raising taxes?
It'll be challenging, but you know what, Samantha, like everything else, we're thinking differently. We're looking at things, how can we be more efficient? How can we in-house communicate better, do our job better in-house to, as I have mentioned many times, taxes and fees are through the roof, and our services were down in the basement. Well, now services are moving up, and people are starting to see what their taxes and fees are paying for. And they're seeing cleaner streets. They're seeing, you know, businesses starting to pop in, starting to talk to us here in Troy. They're seeing their neighborhoods revitalized. They're seeing hot pockets be addressed through Park Walk and Talk and other programs. And we plan to announce a number of anti-violence initiatives over the next couple of weeks. E-bikes were just introduced a couple days ago, and those will be around our neighborhood. So all of that comes into play, but it is going to be challenging. You should also know, I hope to phase out the garbage fee. As you know, it started out as a temporary fee, $160 a year. Now it's up to $260 a year. People are just... The bills just hit last week from the prior council and mayor, and you know, people are upset. If you have a two-unit, that's close to $600. So we need to get that fee down. We need to phase it out. But as you know, that equates for $3 million in the budget. So we have to think differently, and people won't see it immediately, but we are going to phase out that garbage fee. So it's going to be a commitment by us and to continue to really look differently at the services that we provide for people day in and day out.
You just touched on something about hotspots, like crime hotspots. Lately, I've been seeing a lot more reports from the police department about stabbings or shootings or whatever it may be. Do you think there has been an uptick in, let's say, I guess, the last year? And you said some initiatives. Can you talk about any of those now?
Sure. The stats don't say that. However, you know, stats are stats. People need to feel safe in their neighborhoods. So, you know, what I've talked to the chief about, I want to see, and I've already informed them, our patrols pulling over cars more. You should know, to date, we have literally tripled, if not quadrupled, the number of guns that we've taken off the street compared to all of last year. Do I see an uptick? It's in the Capital Region. And, You know, it's just unacceptable. We're not going to tolerate it here in Troy. We're going to do everything humanly possible to show that Troy has zero tolerance when it comes to not just, you know, violent crimes, stabbings, etc., but your low-level crimes, whether it be speeding through our neighborhoods, the ATV bikes, you know, that are flying through our neighborhoods, the one-wheelers, you name it. So to tackle that, we know some of the hot spots, 7th and Glen, down Lansingburg, South Troy, we know a couple hot spots. So the chief and our administration will be announcing Sentinel, which I mentioned during my State of the City, which is all about hitting those hot spots, but not militaristic. Using our Park, Walk, and Talk, using our GIVE program, and also the Sentinel program, and really being out there in the neighborhoods twofold.
Burdette Birth Center, the proposed closure is in June. Where do you see that going from here? They had, you know, the public forum a few months ago, I think it was now, and we were there for hours. People were expressing their thoughts about how it would affect the community, communities around it. Where do you see it going from here?
Samantha, I hate to say, I think it's a done deal. You know, I'm going to be really frank, not beat around the bush. I think once they announced it, they did not care. Obviously, the communication from day one was absolutely horrible. Local leaders, state leaders didn't know about it, and we had to read about it in the paper. Unacceptable. They have tried over the past, we'll say, couple months maybe, to repair that communication damage, but I think it's irreparable, and unfortunately, it looks like the plan's a done deal. That does not mean I'm waving the white flag. We will fight it, and we'll continue fighting it, and in June, if they announce that it's closing, whatever we have to do to keep that open. Frankly, the governor could step in right now and end this. You know, the buck stops with the governor. Governor oversees DOH. She can end this. Budget talks, we haven't heard a single word about saving Burdette, which blows me away. So it really is, you know, it's sad, it's unacceptable, but, you know, I'm not waving the white flag, and I'll continue fighting with the Save the Burdette folks, the SEIU, and our residents in the city of Troy and the county. This is just something that we cannot allow to happen.
Residents have noticed disagreements between you and City Council President Sue Steele. There's been conversations that there's a lack of communication. Now you're 100 days in. Do you feel like that's the case?
Well, unfortunately, I'm not going to get into a tit for tat, but I was hopeful that we would be more on the same page. You know, the council president, we've met my office. We met yesterday on various issues, including NARPA. But unfortunately, it's cloudy out today, and council president will say it's sunny. Listen, you know, I'm not new in politics, and I get politics and policy. This is all about policy, and I think the people of Troy have seen I'm not playing politics. We're out there. We're doing a job 24/7. It's about policy. Politics play maybe 1% of our job. So I am hoping that the council president, who vowed to be bipartisan, does work with us, because we do have a majority on the council who recognize the work we're doing. And the people of Troy, that's even more important, recognize that we aren't playing politics. We're getting the job done. The city is going to be safer. It is already cleaner. It's greener. And we're going to continue working together despite politics. So hopefully the council president, you know, puts politics aside and will work with us. But if not, we're driving the bus, and we have the majority of people who are really excited. And there's a buzz and an energy right now in Troy. So I don't think politics can take that away.
And lastly, cleaning streets and taking care of blighted buildings was a really big priority for you and your DPW teams. Why was it so important for you to get that started right away and really hit the ground running, as everyone's saying?
Sure. To send a message, to show the people of Troy that we mean business, you know, not just holding people accountable, but we need to lead by example. I know I keep saying that. And the Quality of Life Action Task Force, it's not like we're hiring a bunch of new people. It's just a different mentality, a different culture. And people, honestly, are so excited right now what they're seeing on their streets. But it needed to be visible. And so think about it. If your streets are filthy, which they were, I mean, it pained me as someone born and raised in Troy. I had never seen the city get, like, as filthy as it was over the past several years. So for me, just someone who loves Troy, it's in my DNA, I had to, if I were to win, show the people of Troy that you have accepted subpar along your streets, whether it be safety, quality of life, cleanliness. So it was really important to show the people of Troy we can be better. We can be the greatest city in this state, and it starts out by having cleaner and greener streets.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks to Sam Simmons for that interview. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.